Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast, Players Championship Recap 2018. But first, I think we have some congratulations are in store.
We've got some Trontent to present.
Mr. Tron Carter, first ever hole-in-one. Why don't you walk us through it?
Oh, man. I've been getting roasted all day because it was from 140 yards and I hit an 8-iron.
Was it worth it?
Of course it was worth it. You know? I mean, my stock 8-iron probably goes 149.
I was kind of thinking Tiger should have hit 8-iron on 17 today instead of sand wedge.
That was way too specific.
Yeah, I'm a processed, you know, it's I'm an artist, guys.
Sure. No doubt.
So, yeah, I kind of sauteed an 8-iron in there.
Eighth hole, Temecula Country Club.
Yeah, and the ball doesn't carry out there. Like,
we're at sea level.
Except for you. And you know, I haven't upgraded to the new irons yet either. I play some kind of weaker lofted irons, so.
I didn't have any problem hitting those irons my
no,
full
you didn't.
Distance.
You
but
didn't.
The comments to the tweet were honestly fantastic. People were just so the guy that's commented, so I'm guessing there was a tailwind, might have been my favorite tweet of the day. But all right, we're gonna bring this program to you commercial free because you're gonna walk us through.
Well, first of all, I do want some props that I knew it was a hole in one. As soon as
I left the face, he said, yeah. Get in.
Yes.
Get in. Get
like
in.
Obnoxiously
and
early.
And we're playing Wolfhammer with Job, his first time playing Wolfhammer. Our European tour correspondent, Joe Fickett, and like first time he's ever gone alone.
Hits it to 6 feet on the 17, on 8.
Goes alone.
Tron steps up next.
You're in your follow through and yelled, go in. Like the ball wasn't even close to apexing yet. Just go in. And it takes a couple bounces and kind of disappears, obviously, but we couldn't fully tell if it was in.
It dripped in.
It could have gone
Solly
off.
Solly and I start running up towards the green. And DJ's like, oh, actually, man, I think it just went over the green. I'm like, no, dude, it's in.
That was Joe. I thought it was Joe. Yeah, I said it was in.
So, yeah, congratulations. First hole in one.
Thank you.
It's pretty cool to ace a par three,
Neil had one.
Imagine. So I wouldn't
yeah, you wouldn't
know
right? But, Neil had one at Dunwoody Country Club growing up in, like, the sixth grade. He hit a 6-iron from, like, 162 yards. Like a thin 6-iron and just rattled it home. So he's always held that above me, even though it was not a good golf shot. So
well, yours was pure.
It was good that it happened on a good
golf
shot. It
couldn't have been more pure. A tough pin to get to even, so congrats. But we're going to bring the program to you commercial-free, and we're going to try our first ever real live read. It's not even a read, but I want you to walk us through the equipment you use for the Ace and what's going in the bag this week in Greenville.
I'd like to just thank the ChromeSoft X. The new 2018 graphene-infused ChromeSoft X.
The proud partners.
Yeah.
Bringing to you, you know, limited commercial interruption.
Thanks,
here.
Joe Ford.
Thanks to Joe Ford and the proud partners.
But, yeah, and actually, you know, day got off to a really, really good start because I've been working with my partners in the tour truck, namely Johnny Thompson. We've been concepting out some new gapping for my woods.
This is inspired by our round with Jane Park on the LPGA tour at the Kia Classic.
I've adopted the bucket hat. I'm adopting lots of woods in the bag and stuff. I'm like, I want to become like a Champions Tour player at like 31, you know, 32.
Tron Colbert.
So we developed a sex wood.
Why do you call it the sex wood?
It's between a 6 and a 7 wood.
Okay.
And that was
the gapping you felt like you were missing.
Yeah, I can't, yeah. Like, I don't know. Just something that I can hit between 180 yards and, like, 225.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
You know? So the people that...
I think the cool thing, a lot of people try to figure out gapping kind of, like, distance between clubs. I think Tron has 4 or 5 clubs in his bag that all go potentially the same distance.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of whatever you're feeling like at the time.
Options.
Exactly.
You need options.
Is that fair to say?
No, it's completely fair to say. And that's the same... It goes back to the 8-iron. You know, I'm in that mindset today thinking, all right, like I can jump on a 9, I can put it back in the stance, I can hood a pitching wedge if I need to, but I probably could have scraped a 7 wood in there. But like, I'm, you know, the 8-iron was the play there.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been
the results speak for themselves.
I've been taking an extra club
Yeah.
And
let that be a lesson to everyone.
Just swinging
really.
Soft yeah. and doing the anti J Day kind of thing, you know. I there was some disappointment though. I didn't get to use my new XO Indie putter because I didn't get to putt on that hole.
Your putting from 10 feet and in has gotten to a dangerous level. So
Sally's spooked.
I'm scared about this coming week. I'm not going to lie. Tron getting 6 shots on me. And we're going to talk a bit about the Greenville near the end here. But yeah, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about the handicap situation. And
guys, I was putting for eagle on 12 today to go 4 under.
You shot 77.
Yeah.
So it was actually pretty special collapse. But
all right, I putted that eagle putt off the green.
Did you go driver sexwood on that hole?
That was a 3-wood.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right, that's enough on that. We're going to get to the
you guys want to hear about my fantasy football
probably.
Thing?
What was the golf ball?
Crumbsoft X.
Okay.
Yeah.
Callaway won.
I just want to make sure we made it an official ad.
Okay.
And you didn't take it out of play on the next hole, which was
I smoked the drive on the next hole, and then you're like, you didn't take the ball out of play, and DJ had a hole in one.
I was going to say, very quick story. If you don't want to hear it, you can skip forward like 30 seconds. I made a hole in one playing with Andy Johnson and forgot to take it. Yeah, not to brag. forgot to take it out of play. Next hole, medium length par 4. Andy is shooting a distance for me. He's like, yeah, it's 205. I'm like, man, really? Like 205? That really seems – it seems shorter than that. He's like, nope, it's 205. Here, I'll shoot it again, 205. I'm like, all right. And so I even took, like, intentionally too little club. I hit, like, a 6-iron and just home run ball over the fence into the woods. He's like, oh, yeah, I think I was shooting those trees back there. And, like, 2 holes later, I'm like, oh, okay, that was my only hole in one ball.
There you go.
He got it.
That's why we're field players.
That's it, exactly.
You know?
Too much information.
If you just sautéed a little 6.5 wood in there, it would have worked. All right, Webb Simpson is your player's champion. Just the eruptions in the kill house today when he made that charge coming down the back nine today. You guys as stoked as I am?
You know what? Good for Webb Simpson. Whatever. I know it's kind of trendy to rip on him. He's not the most exciting guy. But if you're going to not be exciting, you got to be a really good person.
Good take.
And he's a good person.
Yeah.
By all accounts.
Yeah. The Tesoris are good people. You know, it's... Yeah. It's cool to see. I mean, Paul and his family live here. He's played there a million times, and you kind of see those guys around town all the time. And I mean, we have a couple close connections. Michelle Tesori runs a kind of foundation to kind of manage players' foundations. She works with Leishman and Jason Day and all those guys. You've never heard a bad word about any of the people involved with earning a shitload of cash today. So you know what? Good for them.
I feel like we're building to one giant. However,
however.
No, I think I mean,
once it became a foregone conclusion that he was going to win, it's like, all right, good for him.
I think, you know, Webb's vanilla ice cream, but he's like the Haagen-Dazs. He's like that good vanilla ice cream, the vanilla bean, you know?
There was something kind of cool about the fact that he is prone to the S word, and that could have popped out at any minute. So that, I think, was different than if it was like a Justin Rose type player. Like, I probably would have fallen asleep or turned it off, but... I think legitimately there was a little unpredictability with Webb that, like, just his golf swing looks weird. He's prone to shank a ball every now and again. It's like, this could still maybe get interesting, but I don't know. Props to him, man. He was nails.
Was going off about his club head speed, just going to war for his club head speed. And I'm like, I'm not debating his club head speed. His swing makes me physically uncomfortable.
It's
to
scary
watch.
To watch.
I said this on Twitter, but I was hoping on 17 he would just hit the mega shank on purpose just to, like that guy that was on what's it called?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and called his dad with his lifeline just to brag about that he was going to win.
So question, if somebody shanked it into the little island, like the tree and
that
the flower
this week,
beds, what's the ruling there? How does that work?
It's within the hazard.
That's within the hazard.
I would assume. I doubt they go out there and stake that off.
You could still play it.
You could still play it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying how would you get out there?
That's the question, right? Could you play it or not?
Well, I mean, you can't take it unplayable.
No, it's within the hazard.
Yeah. Oh, it's within the hazard.
The question we had was, would you, if your life depended on it, and you knew the yardage to the green, but didn't know the yardage to that little island, and you had to hit it onto it and have it stop with your life depending on it, which would you rather do? It's much shorter to the tree island. I think you go for the green.
I'd go.
There's absolutely no way I could hit. You could hit 10 balls at that island. There's
the only
no
thing
way
the island's got going for
I would fat
it,
it and thin it. And
it's because they're new flowers, so you know it's going to be pretty soft.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly.
Totally. Especially new soil, swapping out all the flowers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Webb lost strokes approaching the green this week and shot, 18 under? And I'm like, just by body double 18 or
so
I don't even know what he
finished
on 18.
What's the distinction?
It's like you're shot, getting the ball close to the hole, like from the fairway or from whatever.
It's okay. Basically, yeah, your approach shots.
Okay. He gained 5 strokes around the green, and he gained 9.3 strokes on the green. So all those putts he made Friday, like from off the green, didn't even count as strokes gained putting, and he led the field in strokes gained putting.
He lost the field, lost strokes to the field today putting, and still led the field in strokes gained putting. Like, that's how ridiculous he was those first couple rounds.
I mean, at no point did I feel like he got shaky or...
No, exactly.
It's a long time to play with the lead.
It's a tour de force. Like, that, yeah. It was nails all week, and I have nothing but respect for that.
Yeah.
And Tesori, you know, I mean, I think he's, by all accounts, like, he's just...
People rave about that
guy.
As
good as it gets out there, and he walks the walk, so...
I think coming off of caddying for Vijay for an extended period, I think you deserve... You deserve every good thing.
A lifetime of happiness.
Exactly. Every good thing that comes your way. I think he's definitely put in his time. But what I do want to say, I think there was a lot of people kind of chirping about, like, oh, there's so many low scores, and everybody, you know, they're taking it so deep, and how is the tour going to react? Or, like, basically the winning score, the average winning score since, like, 2009 was 13 under. There were 3 guys at 14 under, and Webb was just
an
outlier that didn't miss a shot, basically. And it's like, guys, it was like pretty similar to all the rest of the years.
How good would this tournament have been if Webb wasn't there?
I know.
Like, I don't mean that as a slight to Webb. Exactly. It's a credit to him for playing so well, but just all the names that were in it and all the good players, and
for sure.
But I do give the tour a lot of credit for setting it up the way they did today, and kind of leaning into the excitement and saying, you know, hey, we're gonna set it up for guys to chase instead of just protecting par at all costs.
For sure. I mean, the whole golf course is not... I mean, it's built to promote just kind of like manufactured excitement, mm-hmm. basically, which is fine. I don't... That sounds condescending. But it's... Yeah, I mean, lean into it and make people, you know, give people a chance to make birdies and eagles. And
I mean, the whole thing is awesome. Like a case study in risk.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. You
know? And I think it, kind of in the same... We're going to talk about some of these comparisons to Augusta, but in the same way, the holes bunched together where you can make runs... And then you have your holes kind of consecutively that are really challenging. And so, like at the Masters, when a guy is getting, you know, through his certain stretch of, you know, 13 and 15, he gets up closer to the lead, yet the leader hasn't gotten through those holes. You just have that natural built-in excitement that I think they're kind of going for. For the most part, it works. I mean, it kind of sucks they didn't get 2 years in a row, didn't come down to the end. I love when they come to 17, somebody's got a one-shot lead, and there's $2 million riding on, can you hit like the biggest green on the course? I think it is. Somebody said that once.
Well, that was like KBV had that take earlier, and he's like, you know, say what you want about Ricky, but the fact that he put it
exactly
4 times in a span of, you know, two or 3 hours to
not only that, but also
to 7 feet with all that on the line,
eagle on 16, birdie on 18.
Just looking back at that, you're like, man, that'll never, ever, ever be done again.
Oh, it was the best. So, Zali, you were out there today. What was? I mean, John and I were watching on TV today. After we kind of took it pretty deep.
We were way under par
for this week. I was not planning on going out today. I went out the first 6 days of the week.
Was there some pop in the crowds?
Dude, it was like so Tiger and Spieth getting paired is what kind of put me over the edge to go out there. And
is that something you'd be interested
it
in?
It does
watching?
Sound like something I'd be interested in. And man, it was, I don't know. I followed Tiger on Friday. I've followed Tiger at Bay Hill, and I've been around crowds following Tiger for a while, but man, there it was loud on the front nine today. It for Spieth and for Tiger, so, like missed putts for Spieth. My ears were reverberating with people screaming, like upset with how close he had missed. And when
people
Tiger
just want to be excited,
when he started walking in putts, man, I mean, it was again fanboy here, but like seeing him in the red up close, like walking in putts and making a charge while not feeling like he ever really had a chance was so fun. Like, it was just so cool to watch him just, you know, inhale golfers one by one. And the fact that he made the cut on the number and this weekend was almost not possible. Shout out JT for bogeying 18 on Sunday that put Tiger into the weekend.
Yeah, for real.
Man, it was fun. It really was. I mean, it was just kind of cool to see him in his element. And it just was different. Again, I never got to follow him that much on Sundays in prior times, but there was just like a stretch of holes where he walked in the birdie on 5, and that was, all right, it's like, all right, something cool is happening on the 7th hole. And somebody walks up to the tee, and this woman in the front row, like right near where his bag, yells like, "Glad you're back, Tiger. We missed you." And he like tried not to laugh, but like couldn't hold it back. And then the whole crowd kind of did the yeah, whatever. And then like he hits his shot, and he's getting ready to walk down the fairway, and another girl's like, "It's his 30th birthday," and he's already walking down. And he turns and just like he says, "Happy birthday," and the girl just erupts like, "Oh my God, you did it!" So he's just kind of smiling as he walks down the fairway, and another girl yells out, "You're hot!" And he just like turned and smiled at her, and she like it was funny. She's like, "All right, it's a date!" Like immediately. In this whole little stretch, he was just like having fun out there, and that was, I mean, he made like 4 birdies in a row, which helped. Maybe it was 3, which also helped. But he was chatting with the honorary observer like near the 10th hole, and I don't know. It just felt like a casual, like he's so comfortable with where he is. I thought, you know, no, I didn't go follow Webb Simpson today. I followed the cat, and I'm so glad I did. That was a lot of fun.
I haven't felt as alive as I felt when he hit that drive
on 14.
Oh, dude. If
that was like, I mean, we've played there a fair amount, and I played a bunch of different tees and stuff, and I said something on Twitter, but like we've played the white tees before in scramble events and stuff, and if you nut one from the white tees, that's basically where you're at. And he just, I've never seen a ball like that. And I'm sure other people have hit it down there, but I mean, that was like,
it was a 4-shot lead at that point.
Yeah.
If Webb would have seen
the graph of where everybody was.
Yeah, it was ignorant.
If Webb would have seen that twirl that he let loose after that shot, if his sphincter wasn't already tightening up, that thing would have just, I mean, that was when I was kind of be like, okay, this actually, I started doing the math. I was like, this could happen. He's got 110 in here. He can birdie this hole.
Honestly. And then he pulls a lob wedge and tries to, you know, nuke one in there.
So
Tiger, like, I'm available, man.
There were some weird wedge issues. I don't know if you saw any of this up close, but what was it? I wrote it down. Number one, he missed the green from 107 in the middle of the fairway. I think same kind of thing. I think he hit the green and sucked it back off the front.
He's been hanging out with Jay Day too much.
He had 111 yards on 14, missed the green. Tried to hit sand wedge on 17, which, I mean, granted, I'm sure Tiger, you know, has a better feel for the situation than I do watching on TV. But as they said, he's going to try to hit a big sand wedge. I'm like, oh my God, what?
So you weren't there, Deej. Let me tell you about it.
Oh, please tell me.
Honestly, the wind was swirling. And I watched early in the week, I watched him on Friday stand on 13T, and he could not figure out the wind. And I'm not kidding, there was not a breath of it. I couldn't understand what he was doing. He like was trying to find a wind that wasn't there. And out there today, so I think what would happen is off that tee shot, the wind was down. It was helping off that tee, and that's what helped him hit it 350 or whatever it was. And I think by the time he got up there, it got to his ball and it was down. By the time he hit it, I think it had shifted just enough. And there's different parts in between those trees where it feels like it's down at you and it's into you at the green. I think the 17th, what they do a great job on the 17th hole is they show the wind at the player and at the green.
That
difference.
Oh, that was awesome.
And it's only 135 yards or whatever it is, and you could see that difference.
Who was saying it's like a mountain range in New Zealand where the air comes off like over the mountain? It's like the same effect where, you know, as a sailor, like you have to know what the wind is doing at a certain level up because you know it's coming down over those mountains, and you know it's up there, but you can't necessarily feel it down where you are. And with all the corporate boxes, that's kind of how it works on 17.
I can see that. That's why they're all looking up at the flags too to see what they're all doing. But that's what we haven't been to a tournament in at least a month for me personally. But going out and just being reminded of the elements and seeing the elements, seeing the ball apex, and kind of getting that perspective versus watching shots on TV, you kind of need that reminder. And just for how great the really good shots are, and to see some of the windows that Tiger's hitting balls through, just watching their trag coming off the tee, honestly, it's going through different windows. His and Spieth's balls, like the tee shots on 14, were just, his looked like shot out of a can, and Spieth kind of let a little high loose one to the right, but just seeing where the ball left the tee at was a completely different location.
We followed Spieth on Thursday. Spieth and JT and Rory were playing together, and the fact that that guy we were watching on Thursday was kind of pseudo in contention today is mind blowing.
Yeah,
because some of the shots he hit on Thursday were,
he was out,
shocking.
I honestly thought
he had 3 balls in the water.
But
he
started out like,
we hit it to like 6 feet on the first hole and 3 putted.
No, it was terrible. I was wondering if Greller was going to go in for more balls at the turn. Sometimes those guys carry 6 balls or so, and he dunked three in the water. You start scuffing up a few of them. Like, you may need more golf balls in the bag, but they didn't make a stop.
To his credit, and I'm sure Tron can chime in here, but when you have an alpha on the bag, you know, it just got him back into it.
Well, I was going to say, all right, two takes here. First of all, you kind of glossed over it, and I forgot that it even happened, but I just put two and two together as well. Taking the whole JT missing that putt. So JT and Wes Bryan missed putts, just for good measure. They're both clients of Steinberg.
Oh, jeez.
So is Kat. Got Kat to the weekend. Like, this was an inside job.
Well, that's NASCAR racing out here.
Tour, you know?
Keep pulling the thread.
So first and foremost there.
So let's just get that out of the
table. Second, I'm going to take you guys to 13 today.
Okay.
13T.
Oh, sure.
That hole is,
oh, how good was that?
So that's one of the craziest hard holes, like, on the planet. It's like 14 at Harbortown, kind of the opposite of it. And yeah, Greller just pulled the most alpha move maybe ever. He's standing there with the club that he thought Jordan should hit. And Jordan kind of steps off. He's like, all right, give me that club. And like, he was so steadfast in what he thought, everything.
I was standing there. That's not the way I saw it, but
no,
I think he was just kind of confused by the wind. And by the time he got up to hit the shot, he's like, all right, he was kind of embarrassed to have to switch clubs again because he had called Greller in for the call. And by the time he got up there, the wind got stronger. And he's like, all right, give me that one.
But Greller didn't really step back.
Like, he would stay pretty close, but yeah, because they both felt the wind kind of come in a little bit.
But 99 of 100 other guys would have just walked back to the bag, and that's it. Like, he.
Well, you know. Funny story on 12. So Spieth hits kind of a drive to the right, and he's behind this tree. He's got an okay shot, but he's got to come real close to this tree. His ball's on the upslope. It's a 40, 45-yard pitch maybe. And he's underneath the tree, and he gets up to hit this shot. And he's like, am I going to hit this branch? Talking about the top branch. Yeah. And Greller's like, no. And I'm right behind him, and I'm looking at this like, dude, you are not going to hit this branch. Gets up to the ball. Looks at it again. He's like, dude, are you sure? And Greller's like, you're not hitting the branch. And I'm like, dude, hit the ball. You're not going to hit it. Takes a big, huge swing. It went, like, through the leaves. It actually, like, he couldn't have been more spot on. I thought this thing was way out of play. It was so high, and it was inches away from hitting it.
Why you got to talk about my guy Greller like that?
I was with Greller. I stand with Greller. Greller's my dude.
So let me throw this one at you. This is kind of a fun, always TPC Sawgrass type of stat, the whole, you know, it doesn't favor anyone storyline. Of the 71 players who made the cut, Webb number 70 in driving distance this week.
Wow.
That's fun to see.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that.
Fun to see guys get it done different ways.
Guys play from kind of the same general place on this course. There's very few corners that, like, DJ can get to that Webb can't get to in that regard. I mean, so just it's funny. I played out there 2 days in a row a month ago. Back plates as far back as possible, and was like, this course are going to be really high this year, guys. Like, this course is really hard.
I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I don't know if people know, and to watch those dudes just kind of pick it apart. Again, we know how good they are, but just to actually see it was, I don't know, that was pretty awesome.
I'm so excited for him to move it to March.
This tournament belongs in March.
For selfish reasons, because it gets freaking hot out there. This is one of the first hot weekends of the year. And B, I just think it's going to be a more interesting golf course to play
in
March.
Wild ass winds in March. You get like the weird north winds and stuff.
I think
17, you usually get it like blown in.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is
typically
the best.
Yeah.
No, the tournament belongs in March. It's 1 week too late in the year. I mean, this is the first really hot week of the year, like you said. And we went out and watched that Thursday morning group, and I was planning to go out with Tiger and Phil, and I was like, no, it's not going out in that heat again.
You don't even have a dress shirt on.
I know. For the fans, this is true.
Can you believe that happened?
Oh, I forgot that happened this week.
God, Phil's the best.
Phil is just messing with us.
He's my favorite.
He's going to keep and they have short sleeve polos. Mizzen and Maine has short sleeve polos, but could Phil be a better endorser of a product in general? Like,
no.
He knows how to get people talking about it. Like, here we are. I just said the name of the brand, gave him more free exposure. Whatever he's getting paid by them is probably worth it, because
whatever you're getting paid by them is probably worth it.
I don't know. I couldn't really rattle off the names of many other performance business shirts.
I think they've cornered the market on this.
I think you cornered the market on the tweets. Dude, yes. You got a field day on Thursday.
That was fun. I went a bit nuts. And
Did Phil wearing the shirt, you think, helped? I mean, it helped him from like a brand exposure. I can't believe we're fucking talking about this.
I know.
Do we think it helped or do we think it hurt because he played so shitty?
That's a good point. I don't know how.
Like, there's no way. Watching him on Thursday was like, oh, dude, you can't swing.
You can't do it. He looked so uncomfortable. I know. Like, he really did not look anywhere close, and just looked like he was laboring out there. But I hope he doesn't show up to Shinnecock with long sleeves.
Oh, God, I hope
on.
He does.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he adds like shows a, up like, a, like a briefcase or something.
What? Yeah, what if he carried his clubs in a briefcase? All right, turn to page 23 of your slide decks here.
How about this weather we're having, okay? What else? What else we got?
What do you guys think of the 12th hole?
I still think the layup is too easy. You can hit a 180-yard shot out there and have a thoughtless 180-yard shot out there and have the proper angle and, you know, just a stock sand wedge in your hand.
So what did they saw? They softened the green, basically, right? So it used to be more right to left, is that... Right.
It was, and the bank was more steeply shaved to the left, and balls just rolled in. So balls still can roll in, but there's just not that much.
If that's the case, then I get the easy layup, right? So like
they should force you to like, I sound like Andy here, like God, but like they should force you to take on like the closer you get to the bunker, you know, it should either be a really narrow green, and like the closer you get to the bunker on the left, the better your angle is.
Yeah. So just two, you can sweep it out to the right and be totally fine coming in.
It's a 30, 35-yard wide fairway, and it's
It's a really easy birdie even if you like lay up.
Exactly.
And like the group when we were out there Thursday morning, JT went before it was not his honor, but the group was already on the green. He gets up there and just hits this like rope blade stinger. Then I was pretty pissed that he laid up, but it made up for it, the stinger that he hit. Well, and he turned over. He's just like, sorry. For laying up, but he made birdie.
It should be like short par four should be an easy par, hard birdie.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's still it's kind
it's
of an exciting
improvement
hole.
Over last year.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so.
I think more guys went for it, but like I mean, DJ, you said like Webb laid up
all four days,
right?
Yeah.
But it's also the tour like made the changes because players kind of complained about it a lot, and it's also like if it made the players mad last year, it's probably really good. I mean, it wasn't really good, but messing with the guys is a good thing. Getting them more and more comfortable isn't necessarily probably what Pete Dye intended when he designed this golf course. But
having a you know risk reward par four with water that you're supposed to be taking on, having only four doubles for the week is like kind of weak.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it's just a reward par four.
Yeah.
Which I'm not. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in between on it, I guess.
Between release patterns?
It's just not, like, it's not, it definitely doesn't strike me as all that interesting.
It doesn't offend me.
If it was really good, I feel like I'd want to sit out there all week and watch and just kind of walk past it each time I was out there.
It's not something like four. Four is a lot more interesting than,
I agree.
Than 12 is.
Pulling on my heartstrings.
So one more Phil thing. I forgot this story, but it's more a La Cava story than it is a Phil story, but... this was on Friday morning as they're making the turn, their 18th hole or their ninth hole on 18. LaCava's got Tiger's bag on his back, and they're by the green, and he backs up and he trips over Phil's bag, but like kind of in the way like a great caddy would do, like cares more about protecting Tiger's bag than he does himself. The most awkward, longest fall ever. I mean, I don't even know how he fell, but he's like trying to make sure the clubs don't slam into the ground. He just like stumbles. He takes like five steps trying to fall and finally falls near the green, just like in an awkward knee bent position. And Tiger is kind of just mortified, just like covers his face and is laughing. Skovron is dying. Ricky's laughing. And Phil's getting ready to putt and he's just kind of giggling. Gets up to like hit his putt and has to back off because he's laughing so hard. And then like Tiger really starts going and Ricky really starts going. Phil gets up to hit again, backs off again because he's just like near tears laughing. Then the crowd like erupted and ever gave him the applause and he finally waved at the crowd and settled down. I just thought that was great. Like it was just a dragged out moment of laughter.
I can identify with Tiger being mortified after my experience with the
shout out to
green
the franchise.
Last year. My dad was carrying my bag and then he knocked over AJ McInerney's bag with like the chromed out blades in it on an asphalt cart path.
That's golf, man. That's gonna happen.
Just the rub of the green, you know.
So you brought up Ricky, which interesting thing we were talking about beforehand here. Ricky's career versus Webb's career to date. Shockingly, maybe in Webb's favor. Here.
Big Randy's been beating this drum all day, and he's not the most he's unbiased.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's called Ricky late-stage capitalism.
He's basically an anti-Ricky super PAC.
He called him a false idol today. but, yeah, I mean, Ricky – so Webb's won all the same events. Like, same levels of events.
Not the Euro Tour events, though.
Correct.
That's the difference for Ricky, I think. Ricky's got, what, the Scottish and the and Abu Dhabi.
Correct.
Whereas Webb has, like, Greensboro and Shriners. So
Greensboro, Shriners, win.
Deutsche Bank.
Greensboro's win. And then Players and
Players
U.S.
And
Open.
Open.
United States Open. So, look, kind of real quietly, Webb Simpson might be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's eligible for
according
the Hall of Fame.
According to that tour commercial with Jason Day.
Yeah. He's got
technically
a
this
players.
Could get you in the Hall of Fame. This is a tournament that you really do want to win.
Yeah. All right, maybe so. Yeah, Webb's career over Ricky's. Webb does have 3 or so years on him. It'd be fun to revisit like 3 years later in Ricky's career.
And Ricky's eternal, probably entering the meat of his, you know,
eternal Ricky apologist here. How about this, Webb or Martin Keimer?
How many times Keimer won worldwide? He's won like the BMW International and some events like that.
I'd take Keimer.
Yeah,
I think.
I think so. He's.
What else has Keimer won in the States, though?
He's got 23 professional wins. He has 3 PGA Tour wins, 11 European Tour wins.
Third? Oh, shit. He won the PGA.
What was the...
He won the U.S. Open, too.
It's definitely Keimer.
And the Players.
And the Players.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Keimer's had a remarkable career.
Yeah.
Like a forgotten about dude when we talk about significant players. Speaking of the Players, I want to know like kind of what this tournament means to you, where it is in stature. When you think about the Players, what do you think of?
I think it's properly rated on the golf scene. I mean, I think that they've kind of went through that whole fifth major thing and that fad.
I don't think ever came directly from the tour. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happens behind kind of closed doors, I guess. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a fun, like, Golf Channel. We've got nothing else to talk about on Monday evening.
That's true. And a lot of that was before they had moved it to May too,
so they didn't
really know what it was, but yeah, it's just in its own tier, its own class, and it's the best one in that tier, and it's the only one in that tier.
Yeah.
So
it's the best PGA Tour event.
I think it stands out, you know, when you've got the majors, and then you know that next kind of tier below that is like, you know, the Players and the WGC and those kinds of, like, it doesn't feel like a WGC. It feels much bigger than that.
It feels way more important than that.
I would put this two levels above WGCs and Tour Championship.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And it's, I don't know, I was never super into it as a fan, and this is going to sound biased and obvious, but, I mean, honestly, until I started working at the Tour, I always kind of was like, whatever, it's kind of plastic and whatever, and then started going to it, and it's super, I mean, you guys have both been to it a couple times now. It's super fun as a fan. I mean, it is really... It's a great time, and it's exciting to watch, and I mean, the field's always awesome. The golf course is fun to watch. It's I don't know. It's great.
It's truly a regional event.
It is, and I think my biggest like gripe with it, I guess, if I had a gripe, is I kind of wish it would just kind of lean into its own identity or figure out what that identity is, and just it almost seems like it's trying to. It's just picking a lot from.
You think they're trying to copy anyone in particular?
Well, there's this one golf tournament that I just like couldn't put my finger on, you know. And they did some renovations to the clubhouse to kind of open up the whole scene that you can see number one and you can see
They were serving a certain kind of sandwich.
They were
out
serving.
There.
Yeah, I mean, this year, like serving pimento cheese sandwiches in the concession stand was like.
We never did get a price on those, did we? That would be the sign. We need to know what
probably
the price
twice
is
the price.
Those.
Yeah, we didn't. We needed to do some more intrepid reporting there, but yeah, that whole thing, and then I mean, this is all like inside baseball, nobody cares about, but not allowing media on the driving range or on the putting green. I mean, that and just kind of like I'm sure they do that to kind of cater to the Players, you know, and kind of make them feel like it's a special week for them and all that stuff. But really, just the way it comes across, I think.
And the practice rounds, autographs only in a specific zone.
Yeah, and the whole thing just, I don't know. It feels like such a really cool community event that's like a little more, I don't want to say laid back because that makes it sound like small time or something. I don't think it's that, but it, like Porath wrote a really great piece for SB Nation last year that really sums it up, that it feels almost more like a music festival or something, but the golf is still really, really good. And that's an awesome identity to have. But when you start to do these little things that you can just, it just reeks of trying to keep up
it's
with
like
the
being,
Masters.
It's like being a social climber.
And we've heard, exactly.
But at the same time, how often do we say, like, look, Augusta does this. Why, they should do something like that. And
for
like,
sure.
They're trying their best, I'd say, to copy and taking some good things from Augusta.
You know what it almost feels
without
like?
Without some of the nuance.
Yeah.
Though, too.
You know what it feels like a little bit sometimes? I don't know. Maybe you guys can give me a good player here. But, like, so Michael Jordan comes out with, you know, his line of shoes. And then who was, like, the next much less popular player that came out with
like,
their...
Like Stefan Marbury?
Yeah.
The Starberries.
Like, it kind of... Sometimes, to me, it kind of feels a little bit where it's like, oh, yeah, like, I mean, that's cool, but, like, it seems pretty obvious.
These are, like, the Penny Hardaways that have the shiny mirror thing.
And I would just rather, like, you just... It's just cooler if you lean into your own kind of identity and kind of make your own legacy rather than just kind of trying to... steal the best. Like, a lot of times to me, it just feels like it's stealing the best parts of other things
instead
and smashing them together.
Swing your swing. Be your own.
And I don't have any great suggestions, and I know it's kind of a shitty thing to just shoot from the cheap seats here and kind of offer up a critique like that. But yeah, it just seems like it's kind of cherry picking from a lot of other things and jamming them in together and hoping that makes, you know, the sum of the parts that much better. And really, it feels a little awkward.
I mean, focus, it's the tour focus grouping best practices.
Basically, that's what it feels like a lot,
And they're good best practices, but they're not organic.
I would say the broadcast does a fantastic job of making it feel like a really important event.
And that's one where they... Like,
however.
Well, and that's one that's like, you know, limited commercial interruptions. And it's like, well, you know, yeah, dude, like where have we heard that phrase before?
But
you
it's
know?
Like,
and
that's something
But it's awesome.
The
it's
Masters,
great that they
it's
do
like,
it.
Yes,
but yeah.
Everybody should take
it. Yeah, exactly. But it's just... I don't know what I'm saying.
It's cool. It's cool, and I'm
the
sounding,
broadcast was awesome today.
I'm sounding more and more like I'm a tour employee defending this tournament, but it's what we say. What we love about Augusta is like they go to the same course every year, and it's the same holes. You have the memories from each hole, and
for
I
sure.
think that works
that's awesome. Yeah.
So much in their favor here.
Totally.
I really do.
I think bottom line is the golf is really freaking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's the key, and everything else is kind of ancillary beyond that. But also watching the golf is really freaking good. Like there's not a bad, you can wander out to any hole. And even when there's a ton of people out there, like the last few days with Tiger, you can still always find a place to actually watch from on any hole that you're on. Cause you know, I mean, it's truly a stadium. Like there's truly mounding everywhere to allow you.
This tournament is a lot of the reason why we are located in this area.
Yeah.
I mean, you,
well,
Tron,
sure.
tell that story. I mean, you went 2 years ago and.
Yeah. My wife and I were up in Boston and DJ and his wife, Justine, invited us down to stay with them. And we came down and had an awesome time and asked ourselves why we didn't live here. And then
and then you did.
And then we found out we were pregnant with our son and we're like, we gotta get the hell out of Boston. We should move to Jacksonville. And we did. And then
I was coming back from Amsterdam and was like, you guys kinda like it down in Jacksonville. Yeah. Like, you should come check it out. Went to the Players last year. I was like, I think I'd kind of enjoy living here. And here we are sitting here in Jacksonville.
Before we get too far down that line, there's a lot of negative things, guys.
Yeah, nobody moves here.
Don't come.
Don't come here.
It's super expensive.
The weather's terrible.
Yeah. Don't. It's about to be super way too hot here, and it's not even that warm in the winter.
It's really crowded already.
Please don't come price us out of this place. It's not perfect. Don't. Please don't come.
So, but and then, you know, our experience this week was a little bit unique and versus previous years. You know, previous years we've been out, like, I know you watched a lot kind of Media Center and Inside Ropes this week, but I was a fan this week.
Yeah.
Whole week. Just,
it's such a great event to be a fan at.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
I had no desire to.
You were, Webb was 18 under, but you were in contention there for a while for how far
I was actually challenging like the tour, like
you were like Greg Norman that year that Fuzzy was like, you know, wiping him down.
Waving the white flag.
Yeah.
I was like Tommy Armour III at the...
You're just fairways and greens.
San Antonio that one year when he shot like 260.
28
deep. Yeah. So there's this thing called the Players Club.
Players Club.
Yeah.
Which nothing like Augusta.
Yeah.
Well, so we can't get we didn't get an official number on what these tickets cost.
No, I did. I went on the website.
Really?
Yeah. They're $1,000 a day.
Is that good?
Okay.
So they're like $6,000 or $7,000 for the week.
So it's the TPC Sawgrass version of Berkman's
Place. Let's just
place.
Call it like Twerkman's Place.
Twerkman's Place.
And we got some intel from some people on the ground that basically the tour had sent some of the managers, some of the hospitality managers and stuff to Berkman's for like a couple of years, basically to just work and gather intel and kind of, you know, make this as good as it possibly could be. And it was, yeah, it was good. It was
not
very,
our vibe.
And let's just be clear, we did not get these tickets from the tour. Like, we were probably, we were sitting in there like.
We also didn't pay for these tickets.
Yeah.
Somewhat ironically sitting there, but Tron, you walked in to the place, and what was your first?
Tron is basically sitting there, and this was like the only comparison I could probably make was this is kind of Tron's attitude.
I would like to compliment you gentlemen on a very classy boba ass spread with cheeses that I've never even seen before.
I probably ate, like, I might have gout this week because I ate so much shellfish over the last 4 days and I just drank myself silly.
It was a weird scene in there. And again, I want to preface this with, like, this kind of experience is not designed
for us,
you know,
30-year-old
snarky, whatever this is that we do kind of people. It was a very high-end experience, and it was a little
too much.
It was a little much for me, but it was
like on Friday I was sitting out on the porch talking to a guy that works for Swisher Sweets, who knew they're based here in Jax. We were networking, and Maddie and Leash walk by making the turn. And he's like, what are you doing? Come out and watch us. I'm like, no, Alex and I are going to do a wine tasting here.
Yeah, it was a great place if you were just interested in kind of like boozing and not watching golf.
Correct.
And they had a lounge out of 17
by the way,
18.
Check.
They also had they had their own TV network in there, which showed the NBC feed and a live 16th, 17th, and 18th hole
feed. So that was the thing. Like,
no commercials.
No commercials.
Like on Saturday, we went out and watched. We just sat on four, like our feet dangling over the railroad ties above the water on four next to the green for probably two and a half hours. We're like, all right, we watched plenty of golf. Let's go watch it on TV now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And none of this is to, you know, this is not interesting how we spent our day, but it's more just like this is kind of the level that I think the tournament is looking to take these types of experiences. Yeah. And the whole thing is just a little... I don't know. I don't really know how
something
to process
was off
it.
About it.
It kind of part of it felt a little bit like I'm sure you guys have seen The Legend of Bagger Vance every Thursday night when it's on Golf Channel
Tuesday and Thursday
at 11 p.m. or whatever. But when Charlize Theron's dad builds Crew Island and then the Depression hits and there's that scene of like just a bunch of waiters walking around and like nobody in there and kind of like awkward elevator music. There was a bit of that going on in there. We kind of looked over. There's a couple elderly people asleep on couches. They had gotten some sun. They were pretty cashed. They were catching some Z's. It was a little, again, not designed for us. But
I was thinking
it was
about
a
it.
A little bit
like,
of a
man,
strange.
Why don't
scene.
They have like a
kind of
a
just
li-
a reminder
a live
of
band
who,
out yeah, there okay. after the like. So yeah. Our big takeaway sitting there on Saturday evening when you know everything's kind of wrapping up was. Why isn't this like just starting now? Like, why isn't this the place to hang out tonight?
Afterward.
Why don't they have a live band?
Well, yeah, I'll refer to you to the people who were asleep on the couch. That was the main part of the clientele. And I think that was, again, like the only reason we bring it up here is I think it's just kind of a good reminder of kind of who still stirs the drink in golf, basically, and who's really funding golf here. It's easy for us to kind of, again, lob shots on like, why don't they do this, or I don't like this, or this, you know, I would watch this, blah, 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 and it's like, well, we're still, there's a lot of us, but we're still in the minority.
Oh, big
here.
Time.
I mean, the,
well, it's like kind of 80-20, right? It's
yeah,
like 20%,
exactly.
80% of their business comes from 20% of
right,
you know, whatever partners they have that are spending all this money doing this.
It's like 95.
Yeah, it's maybe a little different. But a couple other notes before we slide on from the tournament. JT is now the number one player in the world. A little anticlimactic, but
how about that?
Yeah, DJ kind of spit the bit today.
Yeah, that was
he was 10 under going into the day, shot even par.
It was kind of inevitable that JT was going to get him. I mean, they're just so mathematically close. And I don't know, everyone's going to be like, oh, you shouldn't pass him without even top 10 or whatever it is. But it's just a formula. It's not that big of a deal.
I think
but
it's just the what if of.
I think the world rankings should be just the power rankings that get done every week.
Yeah.
Well, Sagarin rankings.
Sagarin rankings are close.
Sagarin.
Yeah, I love
guy.
The Sags.
BK, Brooks Koepka shot 63 with an albatross today here on Sunday.
Oh, can we talk about him hurting his wrist with a car drove?
God. So
holy shit.
On the driving range after they've outlawed everybody from being on
right.
the driving range.
Somebody's driving across the driving range as the pros are hitting, drives in front of them like to deliver golf balls. Somebody that obviously doesn't know what a driving range is, and he
special
stops
delivery.
His swing and re-injures his wrist, but is apparently okay. But like, yeah, I think he claimed like the guy would have been dead if he'd have hit his shot. Like he would have killed the guy.
Not good.
By the
Not
way, great. Speaking of injuries, did we get any intel or update on Jason Day, whatever, like his Bo Hostler shoulder injury from today on 16?
I missed this. I didn't get to see it.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was great.
Is Dan Hicks going to get invited back for next year after his little slip up?
I think he might get a talking to. I think he had a little Freudian slip.
What did he say?
So I'll preface this with, I don't think he meant this maliciously at all. I think it just kind of slipped out. But he was basically talking about Tiger and Jordan and seeing Tiger play well, and I'm definitely paraphrasing here and I don't remember the specific thing he said, but he was kind of like, you know, Tiger, you know, he just didn't, whatever, he kind of leaked oil down the stretch, and you know, we got these majors coming up, and you know, maybe we'll kind of see him show up, you know, for real, you know, when it matters. And it was like you could tell just in his voice as it was coming out that he was like, Oh, no. I should not have said that like that.
Man. Tiberius Votan and I are going to get coffee tomorrow.
And I don't think that he meant, you know, I don't think he meant anything by it, but I think it's just kind of...
The point being, like, you wouldn't make any slip like that if it was, like, a true major. Again, we're not debating whether or not it's a true major, but that's kind of a... Even if he didn't mean it like that, you wouldn't accidentally make that kind of slip.
And going back, I do level with the tour a little bit in that it's the only blockbuster property that they own.
True.
You know, Masters, U.S. Open, PGA, Ryder Cup, those are all owned and operated by
other entities.
Yeah, other competing entities, basically.
Yeah.
So,
and I talked to Roy some earlier this week, and he was like, this event has gotten improved maybe the most of any event. From when he first started playing it to now for players, at least.
Dude,
he said this
poor
event
ass email, or his preview, I totally forgot. Like, Rory and Westwood, who I think might have been number one at the time, skipped the event in 2013.
Yeah.
Like,
Definitely.
That's just... blows my mind to look back on. That's only 5 years ago.
Brief Ryder Cup update here. There's some people that were saying, oh, Tiger cost himself a lot of Ryder Cup points here, jumping in 17. Tiger's on the Ryder Cup team. If he wants to be, he's on it. We don't need him to qualify on points.
Can he play with the earpiece in? Do we know?
He may be the first ever playing captain with the full earpiece in.
Yeah.
Webb Simpson, I believe somebody tweeted that said he's now ninth in the Ryder Cup standings.
Sorry, Solly.
Which isn't that close. I'm
on Team Euro, so.
He is 23rd coming into this week, and he got almost 2,000 points because he won almost $2 million at this event. But scary thought of a Webb Simpson, Bubba Watson pairing again in France.
What did Bryson do this weekend?
He finished T37.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is essentially, I mean, the whole thing's worth double points because it's just so much damn money.
Almost double points, essentially. Yeah. So
the European team's taking shape a little bit.
Getting there, I think. Yeah,
Fleetwood a sneaky T7 this week.
Yeah,
bit of a podcast bump.
Had a great time. Yeah, God, the microphone snafu last week on the Fleetwood pod kind of ruined my last Sunday. But enjoyed chatting with Fleetwood. We did that on Saturday and then did Rom on Monday. I thought that was a great little power punch there with those two guys for this week.
Sally had one of those moments like Kevin McAllister's mom in Home Alone where she's sitting on the plane and she's like, "Come up."
Yeah. It was horrifying to open up to find that I didn't press the right button. I hope I did that for this recording. But all right, so we maybe get to some questions, or you got?
What was your favorite little memory of the week? What you got?
Kiradek shooting what 66 today, 67 with a quad.
That's pretty good.
Probably when Tiger made like his third straight birdie, or when he got into second place at one point today and was four back. That kind of excitement building and stuff. That's my favorite memory.
I'm gonna say it's gonna sound stupid, but Sally and I watched Alex Noren just chip for a while, and he was doing the weird mega cover it, twist the upper body through his chip shots, and he was legitimately cutting. He was hitting cuts on little. Like 5 yard pitch shots.
It's one of the bigger regrets of my life.
Which was
not,
delightful.
Not being able to see that with
that was
guys.
Very cool.
It was creeping me out. You've incorporated the Noren pre-shot routine, and you hit the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
Ready for some questions?
Ready.
Mike Hennessy, the AKA at the Oilman 12. Did Spieth get starstruck by Tiger? He was non-existent on the coverage. I thought Spieth was a little rattled today. I thought he was extra little.
I just still don't think he has his stuff.
I think after seeing him just like completely wiping balls into the water on Thursday. Like, I didn't think it could like click that fast for him. I agree with you. Yeah, I just don't
like,
think
even
it's
when
there.
He was playing like out in front of the Masters, he wasn't like he still has a B minus game. Right?
Taylor Little says, "Was the Phil Mickelson bunker shade peak Johnny?" So what? Break it down for those of you watching the broadcast today. So what
basically,
happened?
Bones is kind of running through the famous shot on 10 where he hits it through the gap. And he's like, "Oh, I didn't want to tell you about the gap I saw." And
Spieth is in that bunker on 10.
Spieth's right there. Basically has the same, very similar shot. And Bones is like, "Oh, you know, the gap he had was the size of a car window." And Johnny said something like, "Yeah, he had to return that car to the rental counter at Friday because he was going home that weekend." And, which is awesome. Very unnecessary, but awesome. And yeah, it was just kind of an awkward silence after that.
How loud was the roar? This is Austin Weiss. How loud was the roar from the Kill House when Sanzi got dropped by Big Cat?
It was good.
It's a perfect cap to the week.
I
had on the TV in the media center when he dropped that. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going home. I'm getting the car.
It's
that,
performance art.
Don't need to see
it's
the
highest level.
Yeah, I agree.
It's my favorite. Tyler Champ says, are people afraid of Tiger like they used to be?
I think if Tiger would have done something on 14 there, like Webb would have, things would have started moving a little bit quicker for him.
I think it felt pretty similar to me, man. It felt like a normal charge from 4 or 5 years ago, you know, where it was like, I don't know. It still feels pretty real.
I don't know if afraid's the right word. It's different. And I know like this has been documented 20 years ago as far as what it's like to play with him and it being different. And it's not as much as it is playing with Tiger as it is dealing with everything that's been going on, or everything goes on around him. Honestly, the noise and the yelling and just the people saying dumb things, it just gets multiplied by 10. And if you're not totally prepared to handle that, then you just can't. Oh, we didn't even talk about Focus Baby, You All Right Guy was back. So those that don't know this story, Bay Hill, there's this dude that was out following Tiger, and he just yells, like Tiger just made a bogey or something. He just yells, "Focus, baby, you all right?" And I just made the joke, like, man, he looked little flustered, but once he heard that, he really turned, and he actually like made like 3 birdies in a row after that.
Who's that Instagram?
That same guy was there today, just yelling stuff out, just like, "Par 5 here, nice and easy, eagle." And then was yelling out, "It breaks a little right." Finally, like on his 10th yell, a tour guy like went up and like asked the guy, like, "Can you stop?" But Focus Baby, You All Right Guy is everywhere you could be in Florida.
Who's the guy on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever who's like, he's like, "Oh no, what is you doing, baby? Who knows?"
Oh, that's like at me. "Oh no, baby.
Dancing
what is
Dan
you doing?"
Or it's like his buddy. Like, yeah, it sounds like that guy.
It's pretty much it.
I would actually argue that Tiger is probably, again, going back to your point, I don't think it's afraid's the right word, but it's probably tougher than ever. When Tiger truly does go on a run, that people are so much more captivated by it because they've gone without it for so long that it's even amped up even beyond the levels of 2008 or
well, the thing that was weird, and this is very like, you know, through our own kind of personal lens here, but looking at the guys who were on the leaderboard starting today, for some weird reason, the only people that guys were really like talking about were basically Tiger and Spieth, who were at 8. Danny Lee started the day at what, 12? 4 shots ahead, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, well he's done. Like that's no chance," you know. And whereas Tiger, like, I mean, he was kind of the only guy that really put real pressure on. It seemed like,
yeah. Well, so
I mean, Duffner was up there.
Hold
for
on,
a minute,
can we talk about Duffner for a second?
I missed it. What happened at
the
end?
Oh gosh,
I know. I heard it was a bad.
I don't want to. I don't want to use.
Don't use the Y word.
The Y word. Yeah, it's yips.
It was really real. It was really.
It cost him a lot of money. I don't even want to know. I don't want to see it. But to that point, though, on Friday, I ducked in the media center to grab lunch really quick when they made the turn. I missed 1 and 2. It's kind of a perfect loop. You can come right back to 3T. And when that group went to 3T, I kind of got back up there to that hill right behind it, and I look over at the putting green. I made this point at Bay Hill after he finished his last hole. You got to walk from the 9th green through the back of the range to get back to the clubhouse. And as he did that, the crowd went nuts, and every single player that was hitting balls like turned to watch Tiger walk by. Like you couldn't avoid it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, he's about to tee off on 3, and I look over at the putting green there, the putting green kind of by 1T where you can see. And I'd say 80% of the players had stopped putting on the putting green and were watching him tee off on the par three. It's just kind of like, he may not be afraid, but that dude means, obviously he moves the needle for all of us, but it still means a ton to the guys out there. And that is not insignificant, if you ask me. So
I agree.
On that note, Humphreys wants to know how long before Tiger wins.
I thought this was a pretty...
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I mean, we don't know. But it'll be really fun to watch, and we'll see. I thought this was a good... This was like kind of his... Not one of his best chances, but this was a good fit for him, I thought.
Yeah.
This one I had circled on my calendar.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Memorial.
Yeah. I think he's teed up. He's teed up for a Memorial win.
I think he can hit a lot of two irons off tees and just...
I think there is some worthy of noting that his three four best weeks were on flat Florida courses, which I think is great. Quail Hollow, I kind of expected him to play well, and he didn't, but that's a tougher walk. Memorial's a tougher, definitely a tougher walk.
True,
I don't.
Carnoustie could be a good fit, too.
Carnoustie could be a very good fit if Leishman wasn't going to win that. Matt Hotman, I'm assuming he's joking with this one, but would you rather have Webb or Koepka on the Ryder Cup squad? People that were chirping, like, is Koepka going to be on the squad? Like, I know he was injured and whatnot, but I'm assuming you're just trolling me at this point. Like, yes, he's going to be on the squad.
The guy that I think gets kind of lost in all this, and he's probably not going to be on the Ryder Cup squad, and he's had a really good run of it, and he'll probably play really well the rest of this year, is Brian Harman.
Yeah.
Like he's getting vaporized to the rankings, going just plummeting.
He got some points from the U.S. Open last year, though. I mean he's...
Well, that's because the Rudy version of Brian Harman, Ches Reavy, is just blowing past him.
Harman's 10th on the standings going into this week. I don't know what he did this week, but that's definitely not that far-fetched that he would be on the team.
So going back to Duffner, I mean, the guy shot 68. Like, every progressive hole that they showed him on, he was standing over 2 and 3 footers for
it was
progressively longer and longer and longer.
It was really good, like, theater.
Like, my heart was breaking because I know what that's like. Yeah. And like, I really like Duffner. And, you know,
it's giving me anxiety right now at this moment. So
he strokes gained putting for the week. Duffner was third.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. He lost 0.026 shots today, but
that was really just that short one he missed on balls 18 off on probably. Saturday.
Good for the Duff Daddy.
Okay. Well, there you go. That makes me feel better.
But it's like, I felt like we were watching this drama play out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. A couple sneaky top, like, first of all, Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Schauffele, Walker, Schwartzel finished T2. J-Day, Duffner finished T5. Keegan, Varner, Fleetwood, Danny Lee finished T7. I think I saw Varner was around all weekend, but not really making a run.
Yeah.
Couple guys, like Chesson and Charles Howell. They played really, really well the first 2 days, and then kind of.
I thought
faded.
Charles Howell was destined to finish second in this event. I think that's the missing leg of his career, is a $1 million runner-up finish.
We were talking about it on course the other day, like Chucky. Like, I think if I could trade careers with
that's the one.
Anybody, you're the perfect level of
the best career,
famous, but nobody.
PGA Tour history, the best career maybe ever.
Yeah.
On that note, we're gonna wrap her up. Any other notes we forgot from either of you?
That's it for me.
I'm good. Kuchar missed that backdoor top 10.
I'm good, but no, Matt Kuchar, here we are. So. All right, thanks for tuning in. We should have another podcast dropping. Oh, we do have one more thing to talk about. BMW Charity Pro-Am this week in Greenville. Team Solly versus Team Tron. It is not too late to get involved. I'm gonna let you make your case for why people should bet on your team. For those that don't know, you can bet. You can quote unquote bet on one of our teams. Tron's partner.
For those who don't know at all what's going on. Web.com tour event in Greenville next week. It's a pro-am. You two are both playing.
Yeah.
Solly's playing with Ed Lohr. Tron's playing with Curtis Luck. So we're doing a little giveaway for the people, raising
the
some money for some charities. Yeah. You can kind
of
make a charitable contribution to either Solly's team or Tron's team. Get entered to win some prizes.
If
your team wins.
Yeah.
So we've got some BMW driving experience, a bunch of Callaway Rogues and irons, all sorts of stuff. So NLU gear, but there was some negative advertising floating around. It was at the beginning of this past week.
I know nothing about that.
You know absolutely what I'm talking about, because it said this message was approved by Solly.
That's I cannot speak for my team. We have a big operation.
They might need
here.
To change some of the campaign finance laws.
Curtis reached out to me on Saturday night on Friday night after he emceed up in Knoxville. He said, and I quote, he apologized. And then he said, you know, I promise this isn't indicative of my form at all. I'm so close, and like, we're going to just kick the shit out of them next week. And yeah, I mean, I'm, you know,
you're trending.
Trending like,
I think
crazy.
your ace might be like when Tiger shot 59 Allworth before the 97 Masters.
Exactly.
It's just one of those little stories that people, you know.
The broadcast could be all over that.
When I knew he was dialed in was when I saw that round.
Yeah. But so,
I played last year too.
Yeah.
Experience. I resurrected Chesson's career.
Yeah. I'm going to say the pot odds in this contest right now are pretty remarkable. You have fantastic. We have so many prizes entered in. Honestly, in this, you're almost destined to win something if you enter it. And if you don't, the money's all going to charity. And also, BMW is matching all donations of $50 or greater. So hey, have some fun with this week. Join a team. We're going to be updating you guys on the status of it, and all the money goes to a good cause, like we said. So we have a goal in mind. We've raised $8,100 so far. We want to raise. We have a specific goal. We won't say it, but good. Yeah, go online. It's on our website, nolangup.com. At the top, there's a little tab for the BMW Charity Pro Am, and we are pumped to get up there. Hope it doesn't rain on us all week. It looks like it might. So, but
rain gear. We'll see who's a mutter.
Yeah.
So last thing, and then we're rolling out the NLU Special Ops as well.
Right.
So we got a little more manpower that we're working with here. So we're trying to get one special project out of each of us per month. The first one was a group effort. We did a bunch of really big deep dives into all the different courses at Bandon. This first week is my week. We're gonna do a big
what's the status? How are we looking?
This week put me behind a little bit, but I'm gonna hit it hard tomorrow. But we're gonna have hopefully Tuesday we'll have a big video on the Winter Park 9 in Orlando.
And then Randy's deep in the lab.
Randy's deep in the lab. Tron's in the
Solly
lab.
And I
Solly's
in the
lab.
Yeah.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah. Lot going on.
So, and for those that are coming out to Greenville this week, look to see you guys out there. We're gonna feel free to harass us a little bit and heckle us. So mostly just
trying to get you're trying to get some non-golfers on either the trap jar or this pod. Patrick Peterson's in the field. Aaron Rodgers.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a great week. So.
Larry the Cable Guy, your boy.
Bill Engvall's my boy. Sorry. On that note, we're gonna check out here, and we'll catch up you guys later this week. Cheers.
Crack on. Cheers.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most. Expect anything.